You're young just for a short time. By the time you're in your late teens and your early 20s, you don't think you're young anymore. You think you're grown up, you're an adult, you're ready to take on the challenges of adulthood. And I know you think that way because I thought that way when I was your age, but I found out that although I thought I was an adult, I really wasn't an adult for some years after that. And life can pass by so quickly. You know, I was searching the news wires a week or so ago and found about a 7-year-old boy. And he was out camping with his parents just a few weeks ago. And early Saturday morning, as a storm came through, a limb broke from off of a tree and hit their camper, and he died Saturday morning. And his life was gone just, it seems like, in no time at all. And don't you know that as a 7-year-old boy, he planned on living for many, many, many years and had all kinds of dreams and aspirations. And none of those were fulfilled. And the same can be for you and I. Solomon, as he wrote Proverbs, we looked at a number of passages from Proverbs last week, and now read this morning from Ecclesiastes. Solomon, the second king of Israel, the son of David, the wisest man to live upon the face of the earth, except for Jesus Christ, had some, I'll use this word, but don't take it wrong, had some advice for young people. Because in the days of his youth, he turned away from God. As I read through Ecclesiastes, it seems to me that he repented and corrected his life, although I cannot say that categorically. And it's more than advice that he gives you, he gives all of us. It is teaching from the Word of God. And now, young folks this morning, and all of us, we need to open our ears and listen to what he says. Turn with me in chapter 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and beginning in verse 9. Chapter 11 and beginning in verse 9. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Now we'll look at what he says in just a moment in chapter 12 and verse 1. But I want us to first of all notice, especially for you that are young, that the days of your youth are fleeting. That the time will come when you will look back on your life, as I now do, as I approach 50 years of age, and the days of my youth were over with very quickly. And it seems like only yesterday, when I was so young and in a sense was so carefree without hardly any responsibility, and then I had the vigor of life. It was some time ago. I had some neighbor boys help me with some yard work. As I trimmed some bushes and they were helping me to pick up those things, and we would go put them on a brush fire that would later be burned. And these two young men were helping me, and I finally had to say, I have to rest, you all keep going. Because I couldn't do it anymore the way that I used to. And so life is over with. The youth of life, the vigor of life, as we'll see in just a moment from chapter 12, is over so quickly. Now in chapter 12 and verse 1, Solomon says this, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. And young folks, that's the admonition for you this morning, is to remember your Creator. In just a moment, we'll see that Solomon spends a great deal of time, the latter part of verse 1 through verse 8, saying that we shouldn't wait till later in life to seek after God. that in the latter years of life there is so much trouble and so much evil that comes our way. We'll talk about what that means. And that we're not to put it off. We're not to waste our youth in pursuing the things of this world and this life. But our mission in life, to have a happy, fulfilled, successful life. Now listen, to the wisest man to ever live, one who learned through experience the vanity of worldliness and sin, he is telling us not to waste our youth on sin. And young folks, not only that, because you are good and most of you are Christians and you are pursuing the things of God, but do not be apathetic in your youth. Do not think that later in life I will become more serious about God. Later in my life, I will perhaps do some of the things I'm putting off, but pursue vigorously your Creator. As Scott already read for us this morning, he says this in light of really all the things that he said so far throughout this book. But I want you to notice once again how Solomon begins all of these things. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity, says the preacher. Now as we read through this book, the message is this. If you live your life without God, your life is vain. It is worthless. The things that you are pursuing that are good in and of themselves, your education is worthless without God. Your dreams, your aspirations, the things that you desire in life, they are all vain and worthless without God. That no matter how successful you are in life, no matter how good your grades are, no matter how much money you were to make or all the things that you were to accumulate, it would all be worthless. And believe me, your life is going to be sad and full of misery without God. Don't you see this wise man as he realizes life without God is worthless, it's vain. As Solomon accumulated all of the wealth that he could, it is said in history that he adorned himself by sprinkling gold dust in his hair. And yet all of that was vain. It was worthless. The wind goes here and the wind goes there. The water flows into the river and yet comes about on its circuit. And he makes this point, that even after we die having done all of this work, and accumulate all of these things and gotten all of this education, when we die, where does it remain? The possessions stay behind. The education is of no count. So if we've not pursued God throughout our life, and in the days of our youth, our life is vain. Just a few things I believe that we will do if we remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Number one, we will keep God on our mind. It's sort of like a young child who loses his mother. That child thinks about his mother all of the time. Thinking about her. Wondering about her. Wondering what life would be with Mom if Mom was still here. And do we do this with God? Do we think about God all the time? Do we want to be with God? Do we think about Jesus? Being with Jesus just as a young child desires to be with Mom once again. Do we think about Jesus? Do we want to be with Jesus? Do we want to be with God and Jesus, spend eternity with them, have the opportunity to live with them, so that's the most important thing in our life? School is necessary, a good thing. Work is a good thing and necessary. But do we desire to be with God? Do we think about God? Do we think about Jesus continually and all of the time. We partook of the Lord's Supper this morning. What were our thoughts? Were they on other things? Were they on what we're going to do later, or what we did yesterday, or what we're going to do next weekend, or the assignment that's due that I still have to get done, or what the boss wants me to do on Monday or Tuesday or something like that? Or were our thoughts on Jesus, on God, on spiritual things? And was this yearning, this burning desire within us as we thought about these things and as we meditated upon the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, who He is and what He is to us? In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God is speaking to Joshua as He is taking leadership over the children of Israel. And in verse 7, God is telling him to be strong and courageous because he had a great task ahead of him to lead the children of Israel in battle and to take the promised land. And he says this in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." How is it that we have a prosperous and successful way? Young folks, you just have to take someone's word for it right now in your life. And take the word of Solomon. Believe what he's telling you. The way to have the most prosperous and successful life today in your youth, and as long as you live here upon the face of the earth, is to seek your Creator now, today, in your youth. Think about God all of the time. Have spiritual things on your mind all of the time. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, "Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things, not on the things that are on the earth." And that's hard to do, isn't it? We are bombarded with so many things. I was watching football last night. I love to watch football. But we comment into how evil the commercials are. As you see young ladies dressed in ways which young ladies shouldn't be dressed in public, and doing things that young ladies shouldn't do. And it's hard to keep our mind on spiritual things. And we have to work increasingly hard, making the right choices in our life, keeping our minds focused on the right thing, and doing those things in our life to do that. Young folks, that means reading the Bible and studying the Bible is just not for the old. It's just not for the old. Spending time in prayer is, as you have your relationship, sometimes we don't like to use that phrase, personal relationship with God, but it is personal. It is personal. So that you have your relationship with God, thinking about these things, meditating upon these things continually, seeking God in the days of our youth. We consider Him in every decision. You know, it's like a lady whose husband passes away. It's like a widow. And her husband can be gone for several years, and it comes time in life to do something that she's never done, perhaps, at least in her adult life, by herself. And she'll ask herself, "You know, what would my husband do if he were here? Consider what he would do, what his thoughts would be, the decision that he would make if he were here." And that's sort of the same for us today. We consider God in every decision that we make. The old thing, and I wish people still had the WWJD, you know, the little bracelets and the shirt and those types of things. I thought that was a good thing. Now, not everybody wearing the bracelets and wearing the shirts were actually wondering what Jesus would do, asking the question, what would Jesus do if he were here? But I thought it was a good thing. It was a good reminder for us to think about what would Jesus do in this situation? Have you done that before? I've done that. It helps me to make the right decisions with those things. Seeking the Lord in the days of our youth, keeping God on our mind and spiritual things on our mind, and wondering, well, what would the Lord do here? That's what I'm going to do in this situation. And we worship and glorify God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Seek after God in the days of your youth. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Here is the Apostle Paul. And he says this. I ask you all to sort of put yourself in his position and say this for yourself. I have been crucified with Christ. And just think of yourself there on the cross. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. He gave himself up. Jesus died on the cross for me. Notice Paul does not say for you. And that was true. He could have said that. But he's personalizing these things. Do we look at Jesus upon the cross and say, Jesus died for me? Jesus died for me. You know, if someone were here today and for some reason had to offer themselves for you, and maybe upon a cross, and this person allowed themselves to be laid upon the cross and his hands to be nailed and be raised up and his feet to be nailed, having been scourged and blood is everywhere, and you're standing there and you're saying, he's dying for me. He's dying so that I can live. What would that do to you? How would that affect you in your life? I know how it would affect me. And then we think about Jesus, who really did that for us. Peter says that he bore our sins in his body on the cross. And you think about your sins. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's not try to pretend like we don't have sins. And you think about the things that you've done and the things that have separated you from God in the past. And Jesus bore those things in his body. The point is this: Jesus paid the penalty, the debt that you owe, for the words you spoke, for the deeds you have done. For me, when I was 6 years old, for the piece of candy I stole, I know I was doing wrong. Somebody had to pay for that. Jesus paid for that. Worship and glorify God. Be a living memorial. Isn't that what Paul was? No longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Those who look at me, they see Jesus. I am a living memorial. And I have the picture there of the Tomb of the Unknowns, Arlington Cemetery. That's a dead memorial, by the way. That's not living. But if you've had the chance to go there, when individuals go there, it changes their life. It has mine. It's given me a little bit more faith in humanity that people can still be respectful. I was wondering if we still could. And this is a memorial so that we remember those who have died for our country, for our liberty, so that we can be here today, so that there's not some army standing out there, tanks rolling up through the front door. And I think it's a good thing to remember these people. But really, as Christians, we are a memorial also in everything that we do, in the way that we talk, in the places we go, the things we watch, the things we listen to, the jokes that we tell, the people that we associate with. It's a memorial to Jesus Christ. Others see Jesus and are reminded of Jesus. In other words, to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, be a Christian. And I'm proud of the young people. I'm proud of the people here who are Christians, because they're doing this thing. very thing. But the fact of the matter is, I hope I'm stimulating your thoughts today, because we can do better. We can do better. We can be stronger. We can be strengthened in our lives. Now, I want you to notice as we continue on in Ecclesiastes, now chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Solomon makes this point. Young people, do not wait till you are old to remember your Creator. That would be one of the biggest mistakes you ever make in your life. Remember Him now. Let that have an effect upon you and your life. And let that move you as the one who created you, the one who is responsible for your existence and your being. Let that make a difference in your life. Notice, beginning in the end of verse 1, before evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Solomon is speaking allegorically here through these 8 verses. And he's telling us something about old age. And I'm just sort of starting to get to the place where I'm having some of the infirmities of old age. You know, I have trouble with my back. I have trouble with my neck. And I can go to the chiropractor, and the chiropractor can fix it, and it lasts for about maybe a day. I can live at the chiropractor several days a week. And so I do have to do something that is, well, sort of absurd and ridiculous. I have to sleep on my back for the whole night, which I hate to do. And that's not so ridiculous. I cannot use a pillow. And I have to take something such as, I usually just use pajamas, roll it up and put it under my neck. And I have to sleep there all night, perfectly still. And if I don't, the next day I'll be so miserable and in so much pain, I can't take enough medicine, seems like, to get rid of it. And if I take enough to get rid of it, I can't think straight. And I'm not 50 years old yet. Andrea and Brittany went with me to visit Louise, and I hope you're talking to all of you, talking to those who are able to be here, who have the infirmities of life and the very difficulties of life. I hope you're talking to them. I hope you're visiting with them. I hope you're calling them, and all of these things. And we talked about on the way there and on the way back, it's terrible to get old. It's terrible to get old. The days are evil, Solomon says, because life is, it's terrible when you get old. And about all you can do is get out of bed, sit in a chair, and stay there all day. Go back to bed, get up the next day, sit in the chair, and stay there all day. Young folks, Solomon is impressing upon you that if the Lord allows you to live a long life, you're going to be in that boat one day. Don't wait till that day to seek after God because you've wasted all of your youth. Notice what he says. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain, in the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim. Don't you see an old person here who does not have the strength to go outside or do much and are stooped over? Dim, eyes are dim. And all they can do is watch life go by past the window, because life has passed them by to so much of the degree. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. Perhaps you remember when Rick Bowen spoke at one of the classes for the young folks on Saturday. He talked about this. I don't know if you really caught what he was saying. When you get old, you become afraid. You're afraid to go places by yourself. You're afraid to go places that are strange. You're afraid to go places when it's dark. Why? Because you do not have the strength and the vigor you used to have. Because your mind does not work the way that it used to work. You don't remember things the way you used to remember them. And you're on medications that sometimes make it hard even to think. Notice what else that he says. The almond tree blossoms, allegory of white hair. The grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. Here, speaking of the frailty of life, how easily life is just broken. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. What is he saying? Young people, there's two things that he's saying here. First of all, even if you are a Christian when you are old, if you have wasted your youth on sin and worldliness, you're going to regret it. Number two, if you are old and you're not a Christian, you're going to regret it even more. So young folks, know this. You know, my dad, I picked up something from my dad. He told me, you're always trying to learn from other people's mistakes. And as I was young and growing up, I was making mistakes, and I found myself not trying to learn from other people before I made them myself. And it finally clicked with what he was saying with me. I said, I don't need to be making the mistakes myself. I need to look at the people that are making them so that I don't make them. So young folks, I beg you to listen to someone who made some big mistakes. Here was Solomon. And realize that if you squander your life away in your youth, you can never get your youth back. You can never get it back. And no matter how great a person you are in later life, doesn't matter how great a Christian you are in later life, you're still going to have regrets because you squandered your youth. When you get old, your days are going to be evil. You're going to wonder, why am I here? Why am I living? Can't I just die? They're going to be gloomy and dark. Depression often evades the mind of older people. I would be depressed too if all I could do is get out of a bed, sit in a chair, get back in bed, get out of bed, get in a chair, get back. I'd be depressed too. And the medications that we take today oftentimes results in depression. There's going to be a time when life is gloomy and dark and you're going to really hate the fact that you're even still alive. Life isn't fun anymore. And you know, you're living, young folks, you have problems. You have difficulties. But life is fun. Because you can go and you can do things and you can enjoy life. And there's going to be a time when that's not going to be that way anymore. When you're not strong and brave anymore. When life is so fragile. You know, young people, you probably remember that when an older person, maybe in a nursing home or in a hospital or something like this, one of the greatest fears is that they fall. Why is that? Because oftentimes fall, breaking a hip, as both my grandfather and my grandmother on my father's side, both did, ends in death. Life is so fragile when you become old. Life is vain. Well, there's two things we need to think about. Turn your Bibles with me over to Psalms 90. Psalms 90. And here Solomon's father David writes this. Psalms 90 and verse 12, we mentioned this verse throughout last week. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Young and old, we need to learn to number our days. We need to learn to understand that life passes so quickly. We need to understand that life can be over with in just the snap of a finger. It's appointed for man to die once, and then comes the judgment. You know, we need to learn to number our days to understand that we could die today, and all that is left is judgment. Time is gone. No more time for change or repentance or correcting our life. I'm reminded of a few stories I want to share with you. One story is the first time I was ever called as a chaplain to go and to minister a mother whose daughter had died. And it's the first time I'd ever seen a dead young person in the hospital moments after death. I remember what I thought at the time. I remembered thinking the young girl was just asleep. I thought she was just going to wake up. It sort of seemed like people had made a mistake, that indeed she was not really dead. And I remember sitting there in the hospital room and talking to the mother, who had an assurance and a confidence that her child was going to heaven, and so that made things better, but yet was very sorry that her child was gone and her child was dead, and would miss her child greatly. And although her child had had some health issues to deal with, yet did not expect to be in the hospital by her dead child's body that day. I also remember a man who had health problems, heart problems, knew he was going to die at some period or another. And this night was taken to the hospital, put on the respirator. And of course, with a respirator, you cannot talk. And it was very obvious that all he wanted anyone to do was to pull the respirator out so that he could die. He had let loved ones know that and understand that, but they didn't want to let him die. They called the chaplain. That was me. They wanted to make sure that he was saved. Their religious beliefs are different from mine. All I could do was pray for the man and the family. I couldn't do anything in respect to his salvation. His chances regarding salvation were gone. Yet, he was alive. Another time I was called in on a man, pretty young, probably about my age, having health problems, gone into a coma. His wife and his daughter were there reading the Bible. They said he wanted to be saved. He never woke up. Time for salvation for him was gone, although he was still breathing. See, life can go so quickly. We're not guaranteed of any other chances. Today is the day of salvation. Today is it. I think about the people who are on flight number 93. And I think about them on this airplane, 33 passengers, 7 crew, and 4 terrorists. And I think about being on this plane, and I think about having to make the decision, am I going to fight the terrorists, or am I going to let them run this plane into something and kill thousands and thousands of people? And I wonder what I would be thinking about as I made that decision. If I wasn't a Christian, it was too late to become a Christian. I would be on this plane and I would know as a fact that I was lost for eternity. And that I could either try to stop the terrorists, I could either try to help other passengers and crash the plane before it got somewhere else. And I knew that whatever would happen, that I was lost in hell. You see, life can pass very quickly and accidents can happen and life can be over, but yet, listen to this. You can be in a situation in life where you are forced to make a decision whether to sacrifice your life or not for the good of someone else. In 2000, a man with the last name of Saunders was waiting for his 4-year-old daughter, Danielle, to come home from school. And the school bus pulls up. He walks across the street. She comes off the bus. They walk back across the street to his house. A pickup truck, a 16-year-old driver with a 15-year-old passenger, going too fast, can't stop without hitting the bus, swerve. And Saunders has a split second to make a decision. Do I save myself or my 4-year-old daughter? What would you think about in that split second? If you're not a Christian, do I spend eternity in hell to save my daughter, or do I sacrifice my daughter to have one more chance to obey the Lord? Not only can life pass very quickly, not only can things happen and accidents happen, but you can be called to make the decision whether to sacrifice your life. What would you do? Turn with me to Ecclesiastes, and my time is out, but I want to point out this scripture. The solution is this, verses 13 and 14. Solomon says, the conclusion when all has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. This is the way that we remember our Creator. In the days of our youth, in the days of our middle age, in the days of our old age, to fear God and keep His commandments. To reverence God. To have the attitude, the respect for God, to keep His commandments. Knowing that one day we'll be called to judgment. Now let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you fear God? Do you respect God? Do you reverence God in your life? To seek Him, to obey Him, to please Him, to worship Him as your Creator. Number two, are you ready for judgment? To borrow an expression from a good friend of mine, you make the call. Do you fear God? Are you ready for judgment? If you were on Flight 93, is there anything you'd want to change? Now is your time to change it. Right now is your time to change it. You may not have another time. We're going to sing a song, Nothing But the Blood. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become a Christian. Doing just what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has commanded us to do. We believe in Him, repent of our sins, confess that He is the Son of God. Then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb, nothing but the blood. Perhaps you've turned aside from the truth. Perhaps your life is not right. You can correct your life. That blood will cover your sins as you return back to the Lord. Let's make sure all of us here this morning fear God and are ready for judgment. Don't leave here today if you're not. Or you're washed in the blood. 307. If we can help you this morning, won't you come to the front as we stand and sing?